word is what God is speaking to us right now. What he's saying to us. The word has to become a part of you. What is God speaking to you personally? Because many of you cannot get up and run with God until you face what he's telling you. And tonight I want to show you how do you outward work the word. Because no matter what prophecy I get, you get, no matter what God speaks to you, whatever God tells you your children going to be, whatever gifts you see in them and in your spouse, no matter how much you see in the spirit, you can only get what you work out. God is not going to sovereignly give you something that you're not prepared and have not worked out. And this is where a lot of people, we get confused. Because we think that we can sit in church and hear the word, get fat on the word, and know all the scriptures. Know what to quote, when you need to quote it, and think devils listen to that. Devils don't care what you do, just don't do it. You can sing it, you can shout it, you can preach it, just don't do it. And they fine with it. You can get together, Joyce Myers, and be in a crowd of people and have all the t-shirts and say, I went to Women Thou Art Loose. And you can say, oh, that was a good thing. You can even feel the presence of God and not see your prophecy fulfilled. You can have all of that. You'll only get what you outward work. That's why Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold of eternal life. In other words, Timothy, get your mind out of what you see. Because you cannot run this race keeping your eyes on the natural things. So many times we try to take a big God and put him in this world. We try to put him in this world. We try to make God. That's why everything that people do, you know, back in the day, there was more God presence involved in the decisions of the land. Yeah. So you could go out and breathe the air and you could almost get God. That's why, you know, back in the day, God could have worked through people. And you could have just obeyed them and been okay. But it's not like that now. You can be loyal to people and still go to hell. Yeah. You can be loyal to people and still be confused. Yeah. You can love your mom and still be confused. You can love them. Why? Because the world is not like before. God is out. The people and politicians, before politicians, they would come, and if you showed them something that was right in the ethical consciousness, even though the law says it, they'll say, no, son, we got to do this the right way. We're sorry. Now the law runs it. Judges go by the book. They don't go by their conviction. This person was wrongly done. Forget about the law. We need to change the law. We don't do that anymore. We throw people. We run them like products, even in the church. Come on in and hear what I got to say. Then we stamp you. Go on out of here. Make some more money for me and come on back in here. Told the people in Africa, I say, y'all trying to get that America. You don't need to bring your Bibles to church. Just bring your wallet. And y'all trying to get over there. You don't go to no place to look for prosperity. Prosperity is here in this nation. You got a prosperity is what's inside of you. It's the God in you, not just going to a land. It's not about where you're at. It's who you are. Who you belong to. So you got to realize that God is wanting us to work out the word. The word, let me give you a few things that working out the word is not. Number one, working out the word is not reading the Bible and getting something out of the Bible and putting it in your life and saying you're going to live by this. That's not outward working the word. You take a quote and you read it. The Lord giveth and he taketh away. That's because the wrong people told you the wrong thing, so you think that's it. You've heard me say this statement over and over again. Everything in the Bible is truly stated, but it's not a statement of truth. So everything in the Bible was truly stated, but it's not a statement of truth. Not everything. God don't take and then give. That's not the God. He allows things because of positions. So most of us think when God go and take this five-year-old child, we don't never even resist the devil, because when she go to the hospital and they got things on her, once that's over, that's it. God wanted to pluck another flower. Well, pluck somebody else, because I want my children. What kind of blessing you get when they die? No, the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. You cannot go against that. That's somebody that's absent of the spirit world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The killings that are happening, these are demonic oppressions. This is not just all let it in the law. No, the devils have access, because church people are coming with their hats on, and pastors have gotten these cufflinks, and they looking good, but ain't got nothing inside of them. They're dressed up casket. They looking good on the outside, but still dead on the inside. Men that have hijacked God's agenda for their own personal ambition at the cost of your destiny. The word has to be dissected. That's why the Bible says it's got to be interpreted. You cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. When you begin to worship, you ask God. I believe it was Paul said, what was it, in Ephesians chapter 1, where he talked about how, you know, the eyes of your eyes be enlightened. Yeah. That you can see more. Yeah. A lot of people never outward work the word because of a lack of revelation. They don't get enough revelation. When you don't get revelation, I'm not talking about a revelation of just you being able to preach or sing. I'm talking about revelation of how this thing works. How God is doing this. Without revelation, you lack. That's what I pray. That's why Paul said, pray for those that are in authority so we can live a peaceful life. Obama don't know what he's doing with this thing with Libya, just back and forth. He don't know what he's doing. Man, you going to go get the man or not? Don't play with this thing. See, you don't want. See, that sound good until you sending your boys over there. Getting killed off this man little ambition. He just calm and cool. You better not be cool now. What do you want to do? You got to be in or out. That's why the Bible said let your yes be yes and your no be no. Whose side are you on? See, times like war, you need a decisive person. You don't need people like that. You know, well, you know, let them. Listen, we got the power. What you going to do? Are we going to take responsibility for the rest of the nations of the world and be a leader? Then let's go in there, handle it, and come out. It may cost us something. Let's determine whether it's worth that. Yes, but let's begin to go in and do what we got to do. Why? Because when you take that leadership role, there's a lot come with that. But see, if you don't have revelation, he thinking natural when things are happening in the spirit world. You know, you can't do both. What is God saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's what you got to ask, Obama. What is God saying? You know, you can't separate church. And see, religious people can hear this. You know, the church is speaking like, these are people of faith, and they're considered extremists. Every knee is going to bow. So let's see how much they're going to be saying Christians and all that. When all this hell breaking loose and they don't know where to go, they ain't going to be saying, oh, y'all just over here and the Muslims. They ain't going to be doing that, because Muslims will be getting sucked up too. Every knee going to bow and confess that the God that we serve is the living God. They're going to tell it. Why? Because you begin to take action and let this word become flesh. You will bring God to a place where people will be confronted. With whose side are you on? I know you go to church. I know you're a pastor. But whose side are you on? I know they elevated you to bishop and you're the chief apostle. But whose side are you on? You can't be on God's side if you're not doing God's work, if you're not becoming God's word. So this is why the word has to become flesh. I mean, you know, sometimes talking to some of these guys, you don't want to be like that. You know, you love people, you know, just like everybody. But man, come on, man, we can't sit here and debate. Your ego has got inflated too much. This ain't your church. You got people leaving the church thinking about your personality. When you leave the church, you ought to be thinking, I got to pray. I got to pray, man. There's more of God. Not no man thinking about what kind of car he drive and where he traveling at. No, you ought to be thinking about the God of the man. When that don't happen, ain't nothing going on. They're devils. There's a lot of our demonic churches, even in our city, denominations, they attract devils. The devils rally in the church time. They don't even know it. They sing with all these bagpipes. Now the same old song, no spirit. And they keep going. They think you're active because you got drums. As though devils listen to drums. You're just speeding up the devils. They think, you know, this is just so backwards. Why? Because we come up with man's doctrine, mama, because they're absent of the spirit world. Because there has to be people that will rise up and begin to model something different. Yeah, we go to church on Saturday. We're knocking on doors on Sunday. And we still love God. Even, you know, that lady couldn't come to Charlie and tell her today and say, you know what? This wasn't a Christian. Why? Because she felt God. She saw God. And guess what? It was on a Saturday. And I'm going to church after this. You got to confuse them because, see, they think Sunday and I go to church. No, 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 no. Let's model something else where you cannot be confused that was the Lord's doing. I remember Darrell Hines. Y'all remember me telling the story out of Milwaukee. Church of God in Christ he was with. And, you know, they don't believe in no dress until he got struck by lightning. He didn't believe in pants. Women don't wear pants. He was a starchy preacher like that. One night, Kelvin, he was on it. He said he was outside, and he got struck by lightning, left to die. A lady came and picked him up and took him to the hospital. He knew he was going to die. He got back. That lady came to his house, and she eating, and you know, he trying to appreciate her or whatever, and he noticed. She's a Christian lady, but she didn't have pants on. She did have. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. And guess what? He break that whole philosophy. He went back and got on the pulpit. I think he was preaching at Gilbert Patterson Church. And he told the testimony of how that lady with her pants on. So God was using her. So tell me why this lady with her pants. Let me lay down all this doctrine. I may not even know where it came from, but all I know is that this lady saved my life. You worrying about lipstick and all this stuff. See these people playing around. Coming in here with choir robes. It's all hot and they're singing all this stuff. You never see their husband, their wife. Nobody care about their family. They're just singing for the Lord. See, that has to be broken up. I'm not trying to be hard. I just want to see lives change. The world looks at that and they mock us. That's why we put people like Tyler Perry to work. That's why, to mock the black church, because it's a dead church. People in there just shouting. They think that's funny, you shout. You know, you think about it. People just shouting. Think about this. You know this. Most people you know shouting. They ain't got much to their life. You tell them, hey, how much you tithing? They'll stop. You coming to church this weekend? They'll stop. They just shouting like it's in the club. I told y'all a story when I was in Africa, the church I went to on a Sunday morning. And I walked in And I mean, they had their African songs, and they was just dancing. I said, hold up. Now, this ain't no holy dance here. I said, I can deal with dancing. But I said, something ain't about this. This too much here. Something ain't. I could tell in the water. This was too natural. You're right. Too much flesh in there. I could look at it and tell. And they kept going over. And I'm thinking, man, it's getting hot in here. Let me just get up and minister, because they just going. So that later on, I found out. I got up, started preaching. The Spirit of God revealed some things. I didn't say nothing about. I said, some of y'all dance like y'all in the club. Yeah. Pastor, get up. Right after I finished preaching, I said, Pastor, you didn't know, but some of my people still go in the clubs. Later on, I'm telling him, you need to get them out of the praise team. The ones that are still halfway, tell them just go or just stop. Sit them down. Why? Because you can't do both. You're not going to be able to do both. Are you with me? So you got to make sure that you got revelation, that these things are flowing, because I can't tell you how many people never allow the word to become flesh because of what they don't know. Because of the absence of the spirit world. When the word becomes flesh in you, you begin to live it. Just like Charlie was saying today, you go in and you open and whatever God want to do. Sometimes you can shut God down by your mindset. Your mental ignorance, your attitude, your mood, the way you see things, your old culture. These are all things that will stop God. What if God want to move today? What if he want to change the lives of the people? Can't do it. Why? Because Christians going to work, we acting just like the world. I didn't say you got to be perfect, but y'all, we got the light of the world in us. We're the salt of the earth. You can't go to work and you down and out because they laying. They can lay off everything. God is my source. I may be scared now, but I'm going to keep saying what God's saying. I'm going to just say it. I don't know where I'm going, but God is my provider. God, so you start enlarging your capacity there. Your spirit, man. Why? Because you begin to understand that God is not a man he should lie. You got to stop limiting God to just meeting your needs. The word will never become flesh to you if you only limit him to meeting your needs. He don't just want to meet your needs. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added. See, some of us, we want God to meet our needs so we can go to the kingdom. It don't work like that. See, the false church teaches us that. Get your needs, get your bearings in this world. Then when you get introduced to the kingdom, you see all this prophetic stuff that God wants you to go. But guess what the problem is? You try to get yourself there. Because you've been eating a lot of man's manna. That's right. So we think we can fix ourselves up. We'll get the business going, and we'll come back to the church and say, look what the Lord has done. Yeah. That's not kingdom work. Amen. When it's kingdom, God built it. Every step, you say, good Lord, man, I don't know how I got here. I don't know, y'all looking at me like this, you know, and I, you say that, but in the Bible says, stay small in your own eyes. I don't care who they try to tell you who to be and all this. You stay small in your own eye. You know, sometimes it'll almost amaze you. You'll be in places and say, good Lord, I didn't even know y'all thinking I know something. Where are you thinking? How did I get here? You don't even know that. Why? Because God will put you before kings and queens. Not for you to get up there and stop blowing your own horn. This ain't about you. It's about the God inside of you. God want to take your life to begin to reach out to other people. But when you have that mindset that you don't know what you're going to do, it's only become because you begin to say, you know what? How am I going to make this word become flesh? More revelation. You got to always remember, take God off of just your needs. Amen. And I'm talking action-wise, because some of y'all will say that, and then you go right back out here tonight. Yeah. And you still talking needs. Yeah, I'm going to get this. Well, ain't about you get. I ain't got to get nothing else. You know, I wish y'all could see us when we got this facility. I mean, I just wish y'all could see us, how things just happen. And you can see how God does it. Big stuff, God does it. We ain't had no money. The money we had, we gathered in 1 week. Us. Y'all know who gave? It was like 20,000. That's church. We put that on there. They want 70-something. Pastor Lisa, the negotiator. You know, this lady here just ceased to amaze me. Sometimes I want to literally, because I'd be like, you said that. I just walk out the room. You go ahead, baby. Just tell me when the deal is done. Because she will slice it up. And before you know it, you got the best part of the pie. Yeah. And you say, how did you do that? And so we walked in, and you could just tell the poise. You just got the poise. You just say, well, God, if you're going to do this, because we done looked at all these buildings, and all of a sudden the peace, the owners, they want to work with us. I told Pastor, I said, just tell them a little bit about what we're doing. Tell them we're going in the nations and the radio station. Walk them through their own building and tell them what we're going to do. We ain't even know what we're going to do yet. I said, just tell them what we're going to do. And all of a sudden their heart start to move. These Christian people. They're Christian. So I said, well, they want to transition. I said, well, sir, we can't pay that. We don't have that. Then they start working the deal, pushing. Why? Because it becomes easy when God is in it. Right. I was willing to walk away with no bar. Just, hey, okay, if that don't work for us, we gone. Why? Because you'll know when God is in it because you're able to walk away as if you got it anyway. Because if this ain't it, God will do it. It's something else. You don't be worrying about all this where, you know, no, I live another day getting that car. Thank you. Tell Sissy, you got another place for us to live. Our realtor, you got another place for us to look at, and we'll go looking. And I'll walk through and daydream until it happened again. Right. And just daydream. I'll walk through. This is nice. We could have put this here. Done did that so many times. Why? Because during the time of preparation, it's never lost time. God doing something in you. It's not about what you're going to do, where you're going to put this, and all these little details. It's about inside, because you don't believe something, you won't do it. You won't make the time to go do it. Some of you believe in God for a house or a car. Get in the car and ride. Go see it. Stop saying, oh, well, you know, this and that. But don't make that the center of what you believe in God for. When you limit God to just your needs, you'll never allow the word to become flesh. If we don't got no place, y'all remember us having service down in that pool hall? What had happened that night anyway? Why we couldn't get the room? What happened? Somebody, you know, they mess us up. Put them little plastic chairs right around the pool in the dark, preaching the word. It don't matter. You know, one night in Africa in the little shed thing, the lights, they don't got but one light hanging off there, and then they got one here, and the lights just went off. I literally say, just come on, keep worshiping, don't stop. It don't matter. It don't matter. That can't stop you. Why? Because God, we employ God. In other words, we want God to grow not to meet our needs, but to get us to a place. Walk with me, Lord. Each and every day, walk with me. I don't want you just to bless my children. See, that's that American commercial gospel. You don't serve God so you can have a good life. You serve God so you can change the nations of the world. You serve God because he's God. You serve God because he's the one who made us, not so you can get something. If you don't change that, the word will never become flesh. Because you'll increase your love for God only in the times of despair. That's true. Hard times. That's the only time you get on your knees. Yeah, that is very true. Some of us, we worship God when we just love him. Yeah. We just love God. Right. If hell, we can watch the news and all hell can be breaking loose. But we know that God, that the heart of the king is in the hands of God. So we just worship God. We'll worship him. Why? Because that is our solace. He is our peace. He is. Without him, we're nothing. So no matter though we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, we got God with us. See, that's why we got to keep serving them. You don't want to serve them just for the natural things of my church. All my church, they don't have to go to college and do all this stuff and do that. No, I love them no matter what they become. If they know daddy just loved them, they'll produce better. But if they got to do something to prove, whenever they don't do that, the love will stop flowing from them. They'll block it themselves, and they won't grow. But the church, we're afraid to love people unconditionally, even when they give us covenant. Why? Because we're afraid that people will see us for who we really are. You're not trying to blow your own horn. Everything you see is God that's good. In my flesh dwell no good thing. And yours too. So when people see the God factor of you, you got to connect them to your God. When you try to give them, and you know when you do it, and you mounting up like you did something. I prophesy, I'm the one brought you to church. Can you imagine the arrogance of these men of God talking like that? When I prayed, the power came down. I worked that word. We were teaching, and they all excited about their teaching. Never mind who got it. Who's receiving what you're teaching? Because these are pimps, not pastors. They just want to run you through a mill. They don't care what you're getting. But when you're getting, what does a true shepherd do? When you see a picture of a shepherd, what he's at? He among the sheep. What kind of pastor can go and say they're a pastor and don't be among the sheep? I didn't say you could just walk up and talk and do whatever you, but I'm talking about you don't never get among the people. The people got to catch you. You're going here and you're doing this and people got to catch you. What happened to true fathers reaching out for the sons? But they don't want to hear that. Why? Because if the word going to become flesh, you're going to have to begin to understand God is more than just your needs. Most of these men have manipulated people to meet their physical needs. Their bills, stuff. They come out of the projects. Most of these men come out of poverty, and then they get in the church, and they see that they can play with people. Yeah. They're not interested in your destiny. Yeah. They'll help you if you helping them. So they'll preach to you, and if you're getting it, they don't mind you making a comment about how the word changed you and all that, but let you get in hard times or something. Shh. Then they'll send the elders. They'll send everybody. And they won't go. Why? Because they don't want to touch the people. Many of these men don't have the spirit dimension in their lives. Some of them are nice people. But they don't carry. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that, y'all, because if the word don't become flesh, you can forget about changing crack addicts. Yeah. You can forget about changing the drug addicts and these people. You can forget about, because you need power. Yeah. You can't come talking to people. See, all this world going to change in a little bit. If y'all can't tell, the economy is crashing. Earthquakes in diverse places. I don't know if y'all can see this. Watch CNN. It's happening. The world is about to end. Yeah. Jesus is coming back. This false church stuff where these men got all these jets and they're flying around and not taking care of the city that they're in the spirit, it's going to fold. These men are going to be judged. You're going to see it. But the way God's going to judge it, because there's going to be a company of people, Andy, walking from the backside of the mountain saying, you know what? We just got God. We've allowed God to form in us. And let me give you some news for tonight. He need to make you before he send you. He got to make you. So stop wondering why you like this and why you're going through. He got to get you made. He can't put you up there to be the king without you knowing who you are. So he's got to put you in the backside, David. Just tend the sheep. If you'll continue to trust me, you'll go from doing that to going to the palace. He got to make you. That's why you got to stop wrestling with why this is happening. Sometimes God will make the allow the circumstances not to be favorable for you because he's working something out of you. He want to make sure that you're built on the inside. Some of us are forfeiting our growth because we're trying to hop out of the frying pan too early. You can't take no pressure. I can tell you now that the church of the future, you got to have some pressure. You got to be able to take some stuff. You got to know your God. You can't be this chocolate Christian that we see now that always melting in the sun when trouble comes. They don't know what to say. Somebody got to stand up and say, you know what? Our God will arise. He will stand. He will go the distance. Why? Because God is beginning to fuel up us from within. I believe there are people across our nation that's hearing this, Max. They're hearing it. But it's going to happen because we begin to take God off of the rack of just meeting our needs. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Everything else will be added unto you. Everything else will be added unto you. Don't worry about no house and no car. We put all our spiritual strength on these natural stuff. Just get into the river of God. I promise you, God will take care of you when you take care of him. When you carry his agenda in the earth and you go back, stop saying you got to go to a nation. Your nation is your job. Walk up in there and know that, you know what? God's in control. God is in control of what's going on. Don't be concerned about what people are saying. Allow God to begin to form in you. You are the light of the world. When you take that mindset every day, Chris, stuff will start happening for you. Can't tell you how many Christians you'll say, God ain't gonna meet my needs. He'll meet my needs. And then you go back out and spend all your time, your whole week, your effort, and just needs. When are we gonna be able to directly affect the kingdom? Y'all wanna know what that is? That means we getting up in the morning having crusades every day. See, some of y'all still ain't there. You're still naturally, you're looking at everything in the natural. Well, Pastor, that's not normal for this world. Well, you ain't in this world. If you know that the hell is coming to fill up these people, what you going to do? Still go to work where you get 20% God? No, God needs you to come off of that job and begin to be in the front lines. I didn't say come off tomorrow, but I'm saying build yourself up. So you can be able to play. God got a 1,001 ways to make you financially stable. And you don't need to always be financially stable to be able to do these things. God will provide for you, but you got to let God do it. I'm talking to those of you that are always looking for money. Well, how I got these kids, I got this. Do you think God knows that, Moses? I know you stuttered before I called you. I know you had these issues, Gideon. I know you didn't have confidence. But what I'm looking at is not what you're looking at right now. I need you to shift yourself and take on the mind of the Spirit, because the mind of the Spirit is not the mind of people. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are different from us. But if you just go and eat and think everything got to be worked out, God will show you what needs to work out before you take a move. He'll give you that 2-year plan. He'll give you that 6-year, whatever God is saying. But if you keep limiting God to just meeting your needs by your actions, you'll never let the word become flesh. Never. The word will never become flesh to you. You always get prophecies and you'll be going in circles. The Lord spoke to me that I'm going to have a business, and I'm going to do this. Now, all this time here, you got Monday, you got Tuesday, the stores are open for you to go do stuff, and you just saying, the Lord going to open up. I'm praying about it. Well, you pray, God wants you to move. Yeah. Kingdom transformation is now. Even if the business don't open up, there's something you can do now. Even, you know, anytime you don't know where to start, let me give you a starting point. It's called spiritual preparation. You begin to pray. You start there. And God will begin to prompt you, because you cannot do something that's not full on the inside. That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, Your mouth, it got to overflow. When the spirit of what God is speaking to you, when the word germinates and get to a place where the seed is grown, you will do it. People could be laughing at you, Noah, and you're still building that ark in the middle of the summer. You get embarrassed and you still say, man, I still got to do this because I at least want to see if this going to work, you know. Because sitting here with y'all go ahead and laugh at me as much as you please. But y'all will be wanting to get on here in a little while because I know what I'm doing here. But see, if God is just limited to just meeting your needs, you'll never do nothing. Think about this. How many of you have had things that God spoke to you years ago and you ain't done nothing with it? You know why? Because the word ain't become flesh. When it's God, it stays with you. When it's the devil or your flesh, it's very short-lived. It's short-lived. Somebody come with a good idea. Yeah, well, Pastor says, see how Charlie came to the office? I can look at him and tell, oh, yeah, there's something in that spirit there. That wasn't just, I got a testimony, I can wait. I can tell. Why? Because it's life. Life begat life. That's how we come to church every week. But see, you got to grow to that point. When we get together, we're having a party before a party. It's just coming like, good Lord. If I tell you what the Lord did, and don't be making stuff up. I'm talking about just like what Charlie said, you saw God heal. The lady leg came back out, the hospital. You know, you see things happen. Don't make it up now. Because that's where the church get false too. See, every so often, God will show us a little blink of what he want to do. But you outward work in the word brings that, what he showed you, to be a consistent lifestyle. So what Charlie saw today, he want to do that two or three times a day. He'll sin, but your spirit got to be at a capacity. Sound easy, don't it? But you got to grow. That's why you don't hang around friends that ain't building you. Because they ain't going to help you get to that point. And that's where you want to go. You loving God, and God saying, okay, this is where I want you to go. You look around, say, man, you ain't helping me. Go ahead with your way. I'm going with God. I'd rather work out things with somebody that spiritually can inject me than to stay here and just be the same. But some of you love the world. You love the things in the world. You love people applauding you in the world. Y'all heard the statement I said a few weeks ago. I'd rather be hated for who I really am than loved for who I'm not. Who are you? You don't want people to just be, you know, loving on you because you some glassy preacher. Did they know you a Christian on the job and they always want prayer? Some of that stuff can be mocking you. These people are not serious. Coming to you, always wanting something from you. Like, man, listen, if you don't want to come drink while I'm drinking, I ain't telling you to come to church. I'm telling you to get with the God of the church. Go to whatever church you want to go to. I'm talking about the God of the church. The church, our church, Impact will grow because you begin to begat people. It's not going to happen because I'm preaching and all. I mean, if that was the case, we would have had a lot of people all the places we done been. But I'm just saying, you got to beget it. God waiting on the word to become flesh. How many of you are pillars on your job? Are you still some weak backbone Christian that just waiting on your change to come? Or do they know you stand up for righteousness? Even when it costs persecution. Are you afraid of them? Man, nobody, listen. God will stop moving people out of your way when you stand up for him. Not your attitude. Not your shortcoming. That's why you got to be like Daniel and be blameless. You can't have all this stuff coming late and all that, not productive, and then stand up for God. Them people look at you like, sit down, girl. You don't need your God. Tell your God to get you up in the morning to get here when we get here. You see? I'm just telling you. But when you live that righteous and that thing is just pouring out of your vein, even your supervisors will recognize. You ain't got to be the one in charge, but they'll know this man here. He's not connected like the rest of these people. They're connected to my word, and I can say things to scare them. But this one here, they different. They ain't going to let you run them and boss them around and tell them all. You can't just throw a bone to them. You got to come correct. Yeah. Why? Because they see, they'll say, you must. This is what their posture will be. They must be with Jesus. That's why you don't talk a lot. If you limit God to just meeting your needs, you'll never, ever allow the word to become flesh. People are waiting for the word to become flesh in your life. The church will grow because the word become flesh. Who will come and connect with the move of God because of your labor of love? If everybody in the church was like you, how would the church be? That's the kind of questions you ask. It's not the fact that you don't go out here. Anybody can go out here and bring 10 people to church. But can you tell those 10 people that came why they came? Could you say they were feeding off your life? I mean, we can just have free food and gather people. But can you bring people because they're eating off the fruit of your life? Not a nursery rhyme and you prayed for them in their time of distress, but they're constantly looking at you and saying, I want to be like that. They don't have to say it, but they're doing it. It's called influence. The Bible says he will even make your enemies be at peace with you. But it only happened for people who allow the word to become flesh. Are you with me? Come on, let me give you a few things. As Paul said here, fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold of eternal life. Let me give you a few things, just what you got to do if you're going to allow the word to become flesh. Number one, you got to take your mind out of this world. Take the spirit of your mind out of this world. The first thing Paul said, he said, lay a hold of eternal life. Lay a hold. In other words, put your heart up there. Deal with the affairs of this life, because we live in this life, you okay? But lay a hold of things that are bigger than life itself. You know, you never can live life until you connected to something bigger than you. You can't do it like that. You know, I can't just sit up, and I know some of y'all think this. You ain't going to say it, but you think that I could do what I'm doing without being connected accurately to my spiritual father. You'd say, oh, I can do it. But it don't work like that. Only when you're naive and carnal and familiar, that's how you think. You minimize what God is doing because you think it's just preaching. You can only do that but so long. Lives are being changed. See, anybody will come and hear you preach, but who will follow you is a different story. That's why some of you go into church, go to your job, and you tell people to come. They don't come. Because they'll listen to you preach on the job. Shoot, I'm getting paid. Go ahead, let it rip. It ain't hurting me that you tell me God want to change my life. Come on, let me have it. But when you begin to have the wisdom of God, God will begin to show you how to win people. You will become a soul winner. You'll begin to fish out men. That's become something that the Holy Spirit is good at, and you working with him. And you begin to draw them. Why? Because your life will become their well that they drink from. Some people will come and they'll drink from your well and go back and build the church that they in. We're not into just coming. We want the ones who are looking for us, right? If they're looking for us, we're looking for them. But then sometimes people will come follow you. Because God will be dealing with them and say, man, let me go see this. Let me go see. Because I need this. But if you are not being that pillar, a lot of times it's because your witness is weak. When people don't follow you, your witness. That's why some of you get caught up and you don't even know what people watch for. You first get on a job or something, you got to be on time. You got to be prompt. You got to be productive. I you know, even as a Christian, if you late or something like that, even you out. You've been saved all these years. You know why the people don't pay attention to us? Because we drag with stuff. Minimize the stuff that the world is looking at. You cannot even capture their eyes when you're dragging like that. They won't even look at you. The first impression is so key. You be on time. You be ready. Don't fake smile. Be glad you're there. I mean, you're living life. As I told you before, life is boring to boring people. Life is exciting to exciting people. Yeah. Whatever you are is what you reflect in life. Yeah. If you worried, your life is worried. Ain't nobody did nothing to you. You out here among people. You got a job. You working. You know how many people don't have a job? And you still, well, I got to do this. Sometimes you got to begin to count the blessings that God has given you. And again, if the word is going to become flesh, you got to begin to be more conscious of that. I can't tell you how many people they go and they're not affected because they don't even watch what they do. People don't watch what Christians watch. We're saved. That's right. Them people don't know God. Yeah. Some of us, we go and talk over people's head. I listened to some of y'all on YouTube on the thing. Season the City. I mean, some of you go off on people like, these people not listening to that. You can't talk to people about the kingdom if they're not in the kingdom. Yeah. Well, we're having a tier conference. Let me see, what's something tier on me? What is a tier conference? You talking like that? Those people can't hear that. Sometimes when you have you don't have a connection with people, you do that. Yeah. When you work with the Holy Spirit, He'll show you. Yes. Give Him this. Yes. Say this. Yeah. Don't go there. Yeah. But when your ego is there, mm-hmm. and you want to go out there and witness and change, you can't change the world in your own might. Yeah. Except the Lord build the house. Yeah. You know, we can't do that. So when you go to the door, you're looking for the Holy Spirit. Go, Holy Spirit. You do something first. You do something. I'm with you. I'm just a body. What you want to say? You start talking. I can hear some of y'all do this. This is a good part. You start just talking. You start rambling a little bit just to try to find an entry point. You know what you're doing? You don't know you're doing. You're trying to find something. Yeah. To find a way in. I remember listening to Season of City. I think it was Carla talking to the lady. She was saying, yeah, so you got a nice dog. Yeah, I got a dog. She just kept going. I got a nice dog. And, I live in Monk's Corner. And I was saying, like, Carly, got to go ahead in. Now you're going out. She just kept saying something, but then you find a way. Yeah, and then sometime when they don't give you a way, are you born again? You just have to ask them because they're trying to divert you, you know. I think I heard Shamika, I think we were in Greenville at the crusade, and she told one lady, her and Jason talking to a girl, I think. She said, yeah, we're getting married. Shamika say, well, if you get married, you really need to get this what we're giving you. Because you're going to need him. In other words, you need God. Yeah. That was here? Oh, that was here. I thought it was in Greenville. Yeah, like you. And she wasn't trying to like she was talking like reality talk. You know, not trying to ease it in. Like, you need God. You need to get him if you get married. But those are times that you begin to understand that God has to move without the work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. You can't let the word become flesh. Let me give you another thing. The second thing you got to make sure that you do if the word is going to become flesh. You got to begin to practice operating in the spirit world. You got to begin to bring that spirit world down. And I can only show you by giving you examples like I just did. Some of you do that. You know, some of you manipulate the spirit world by just getting in it and you maneuver in it. When I say manipulate, I mean you just move in it. In other words, you try to find a way to hit a home run with somebody, even when they are wrong. Amen. Even when they're right. How do you encourage somebody, but you don't want to inflate their ego? Yeah. See, you need the Holy Spirit. How do you go at somebody and correct them? But you don't. You want them to know that you saw the good too. Yeah. How do you go and begin to talk to somebody with a tone that's going to be more effective for them? The Holy Spirit shows you this. I mean, you don't know. How do you know when to be quiet, even though it's something you can talk about? How do you know when you're witnessing to somebody and you can say something, but it's over their head? See, Holy Spirit working with you. That's in the spirit world. You're in it, but you're saying, maybe I shouldn't do that. Your discipline allows you to begin to be more effective when it comes to the spirit world. I shouldn't say this. You know, we were sitting out here one day, and I walked in the office, and I walked out. This was Friday. Was it Friday when them boys came out? or Thursday, and Pastor Lisa was in here, and I walked in, and I said, I went in the front, and Denise had the office open, so I went in there to tell her something, and two guys ride up to play basketball, Caucasian guys. They just rode up, older guys, you know. And so I look, I said, well, let me, I'll go out there and just, you know, I was going to lunch or something. I just say I'll go out. So I walked out there just to say, hey, you know, the guy said, thank you for letting us play in. They asked who I was. I said, Pastor Brad, you know. I said, y'all come a lot? He said, no, we came last week. I said, okay, it's okay for y'all. I said, thank you for letting us play. And then the guy started talking. I'm looking for a church home. I'm, you know, I need a church home. You know, God, you can smell everything on him. And I could tell by the spirit, this man is just a gift of gab. So do you think I'm going to stay there and just witness to him to say I did my Christian duty? I could tell he's just saying that. So what do? You just say, hey, guys, you enjoy. Let me get a shot and go back in there. I told Denise, I said, remind them, we got to make that sign so they can't sue us and they play at their own risk. Because more people are coming out there, you know. We need to get that sign made. But I say that because how many of you would do that? Or do you have that urgency, I got to say something? Yeah. See, you'll never be able to be powerful and allow God to change you until you can have some level of restraint. Amen. I could have told you that, but I ain't saying nothing. Yeah. You don't even open your mouth. You don't hold it back, but you say, I ain't going to say that. If you're married, you know you have to go through that valley. If you're going to get strong, if you're going to make a marriage, you can't talk. You can't get mad and verbalize your anger all the time. You got to be able to, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, and just walk off. You'll know that, you know, and if you don't know, come talk to me. We can talk about that. But if you're going to build anything, you got to make sure that you show some level of restraint. If you don't have no restraint, there's no kind of spirit world that can happen. You know, the false men were able to get in the spirit world, Eric, but they misbehave. They get in the spirit world and see blessings. God showed them truths and they begin to pull, but they're not disciplined enough to point it the right way. An undisciplined life. See, God can pour something on you, but your lack of preparation will cause it to be misused. So, you know, he can pour it on you, but the lack of preparation. And he only going to give you but so much because he ain't going to let you waste everything. That's why these false men, their days are up. Nobody going to keep doing that. You can't just waste. I mean, these people wasting these people's lives. Got these people thinking they're going to get something with this wolf ticket of they're going to get a prosperity. Christian ain't about no, you got to get into knowing Christ forming in you. Yeah. What about the character of God and dealing with the affairs of this life? We're not saying you're not getting a new car, but that ain't the focal point. You're sitting there telling these people they got to get a car and this is how they got it and these cars. These men are so false. But they'll go up. It'll come to an end. Why? Because people in the spirit begin to navigate it. That's how you let the word become flesh. That's why James began to say a perfect person. They know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Bridle that tongue. Can you control your tongue? Or do you just lash out? Do you say things? You got to be poised with that. Because your Christianity will never be marked by people in the world by you just being a person to just go off. You don't have that luxury. I remember one of y'all told me, I ain't going to tell you who it is, but you might laugh. Well, Pastor, just went off on somebody. I don't do this all the time. I say, when it comes to the tongue, how many hurricanes do you need to mess a city up? One per 20 years. You think New Orleans is back to normal? Your tongue can kill. That's a devil that you got to silence, especially women's when you talk about marriage. You can't verbalize stuff that you see all the time. Because you kill it. You see it. Say what you want to see. But how do you do that? It takes discipline. Because some of you let off on people, then it's like, I told them. So that's what I mean. You get fulfillment in letting your tongue last. You don't even know that. You're building the devil's kingdom. Hold that tongue. That's a good indication. That's why the Bible says if you see somebody who can talk and know what to say, when to say, and how, they're a perfect person. Because you can't do that without your insides being like that. There's a formation inside, the Spirit of God, and you working with the Holy Spirit, learning how to do it. And you got to want that. Amen. That's not going to happen because you're a Christian. You got to see yourself like that. You got to want it. See, some of you don't want it. You say you want it, but you don't. You got to want that. To be able to walk through wolves, and they laughing and spitting on you, just walk through. Oh, that, I've been through that. My grandmama used to say, ain't much to that. Ain't much to that. Don't worry about that. That ain't going to last. But some of you still got to tell them. You got to give your peace. Say your part. Let me stay there a little bit. You say that. Let me go and let it go. Let me just keep saying it. You killing your own self. If I call my wife stupid, then I'm stupid because I married her. Now, if you ignorant of the spirit world, guess what? Then you think that you can say that and not get what you say. I'm just telling you the reality. You can't do that. If nothing changes, it's because of what you say. You got to begin to plant those seeds. And guess what? The word becoming flesh will allow you to begin to manifest God in so many ways that you'll begin to see that the spirit world is the first access to allowing God to become flesh in your life. But if you're absent of the spirit world, you think you can say something and get something else. We don't realize it go years like that. I think we all mature enough not to do that to our children, most of us. But when you come to your spouse or things that you don't see right on the job, you got to be careful what you say. I don't even have to say. I say half a life and death is in the power. I mean, you know that. So you got to be careful. You want to grow? See yourself being a man. Quiet. You know, y'all know my picture, one of them little Kango hats. Rev at about 75 and looking at my grandkids. And they don't know me for no preacher and going around the world. They know me for he walked in love. Yes. He was somebody that walked in love. He know how to say what to say. And when he say, the Holy Spirit uses his mouth to begin to go deeper than anybody in the family. You think that going to happen if I spend all my time now cursing my wife and telling her, you know, when I get mad or something, you know, you in this grocery store. We've been here all this time, you know, and just do that. You can't do it. Sometimes you just have to say, stop whistling Andy Griffin or something. Just go. You know, I don't know if y'all ever been to a place. I ain't been there in a while, though. Let me think. Where something can get so furious for you that either you laugh or you cry. So it's either you take it. I don't know if y'all ever had situations that happen like that. Either you take, it's like, this is beyond the spanking for the kids. This beyond getting upset. Is this bigger than that? You don't even have something in the discipline book for this. So it's one of the ones you just kind of, we'll just chalk this one up because I don't know what to do. Why? Because if you don't operate in the spirit world accurately, you'll misbehave and you'll cause things on your own life. Whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Start saying what you need. Start the week up on Sunday night. Stop playing around and get the and say, this is my week this week. Things will open. I will see God begin to do things in my life. Don't talk about a particular situation, a business deal. Say, me. God will get you the business. He'll get you the stuff if he can fix you. Yeah. He not after, you know, he can change this stuff. He got 9,000 ways to get you out of debt in 1 second, but he got to fix you. He's after you. You're looking at the stuff and the situations, and every Monday we get up going. It's situation driven. Well, when these things, I'm going to work toward, I'm working toward me. You can't leave God out, don't pray, and then think God, all that's going to work. No prayer. You don't pray at all. Just get up and just drive to work. Coffee. How you doing? Get out. How you doing? All of a sudden, things just going to break off. You don't even know what God want to change with you this week. I didn't say wrap yourself up. Give him 5 minutes. Don't try to pray for an hour if that ain't it. But give him 5 minutes, because it's not about the amount of time, but the quality. When God can see you putting him first, he'll expand that 5 minutes to 10. Because he'll give you the desire to want to do it more. I'm talking about somebody to say, you know what? This is God's time. So I don't care if I'm running late, if the alarm call, that I ain't missing this. I'll miss that, but I don't miss this, because this cannot give me that. But that can give me this. That's what God is looking for. Being consistent. He'll build in you the desire. Sometimes y'all look at people and say, how could you pray so long? And how you grow. But God will take, do you think somebody going to get more because they've been born before me or before you? No. He going to measure you in light of where you at. So here you are looking at yourself thinking, well, yeah, that's a part of you say I need to grow, but you got to, don't be so hard on yourself. You're growing. You got to get there. You ain't been. I told y'all this, the story about Pastor Gu, and you know I was in ministry and stuff and getting married, and me and Pastor Lisa going through counsel, and I made two statements about Miss Gu, his wife. He just stopped me. Hey, Brad. Now, don't be comparing Lisa to Marlon, because they ain't the same. And the years are too different. You're going to put too much pressure on your marriage if you're looking at a finished product and then looking at, you got to grow there. Don't put all that pressure on there because you see that, then you come home and telling your wife or your husband, you need to be like this one. You need to be, I ain't that one. I can only be me. Yeah. I ain't Jakes. I ain't Creflo. I can't do that. You can't do that. You can't say, well, this is that, and this person does that. He takes his son out to the ball game. See, people, you know, you let people take a Kodak picture of you, and they'll try to think they know your whole world. Well, I got 5 children. Now, you can do all 5? Because I can't do all 5 at the same time. So don't come and listen and look at it like that. In other words, you got to work it out yourself. So that's how God has to begin to build it. But guess what? If you're absent from that spirit world, nothing that happens. Because you're still playing around, thinking everything is natural. And you've been here for 5 years, 3 years, 2 years. And your only excuse is I'm human. Yeah. That ain't human. That's insane. When you curse yourself with your own mouth. Learn to control your mouth. Stop saying what you feel. Say only what you believe. Make that a lifestyle. Yes. I'm serious. And it's hard sometimes, but you got to say it. Sometimes you got to just not say nothing. And like I say, whistle Andy Griffin or something. And just play it off, but do not feed it. Because sometimes when there's offense, the only way offense lives is if you feed into it. Offense can live and die. I don't know if y'all ever noticed that. When somebody offends you, if you go to the next activity, it weakens it. Yes, yes, it does. But when you give attention to it, that's when it feeds it. Because everybody gets offended. But when you pay attention to every little offense, he said this, she said that, it just move on. When you move on, things will happen. Are you with me? Let me give you one more thing that you can do. The last thing that you can do, or one of the things that you can do when it comes to the word becoming flesh, begin to practice the word in your daily life. And what do I mean by that? That means that you got to stop thinking that the word is just for certain areas of your life. Some of us don't want to address areas of our lives. The word don't get turned on and then turn off. When the word becomes flesh, you become a walking epistle. So I can follow you home. And I can still see the character of Christ. Not a perfect person, but a person that's striving and building. You don't go to your mama house and you're different. You don't hang around your uncle and then you put on your not safe camouflage. You don't go back. Sometimes some of y'all can get around and you start talking different. Be like, why are you saying all that? You ain't a Christian around them? That's why they don't get saved. Because you go around them, you think mama or you think auntie don't have to, you know, you got to be a Christian. You practice it. I didn't say it's easy all the time, but you got to look at the areas of your life and say, I got to put Christ in it because I've been ignoring this. Finances, I'm just making it. Amen. I need to apply the word to my finances. The Spirit of God, what he's saying to me, what the Bible said, I need to apply it there. I need to apply the word to my friendships. Some of y'all got to be stronger with some of your friends. They don't even know who you are. If you really become who you really are, people will leave you. Because all this time, you walking with them and they don't even know who you are. Yes, I like that when you really want to say no. You ever seen people like that? Then they get behind your back and then talk to people the real way? Don't be like that. When you don't want to go there, say it. They're just friends. We're mutual. Are you with me? So you got to make sure that you are a person that's allowing God to invade every avenue of your life. Sometimes it's very sensitive because some of you have not had people to talk to you about certain things in your life. And you've gone a long time. Remind me of the guys in the prison. When I go there, they always, you know, it's just somebody at 7 or 6 years old telling them you're wrong. That's all it takes. Change their life. But they go years, and people stroking that side of them, don't want to deal with it, don't want, and parents live with their children with attitudes, and they breed it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't care if it's your child or not. You're nasty.
Yeah.
That's right.
And don't come behind me like that. Like I said, if you really want to do something with your kids and with people around you, you got to be straight up with them. Love them, but be straight with them. If the word is to become flesh, you got to make sure every area of your life. How are you parenting? Do you invade? Did Christ show you how to parent? Or do you just think you can feed them and that's it? How are you building your marriage? How are you growing when it comes to your business? Are you doing it in your own might or is God orchestrating it? You can't do it in the hustle and the bustle. I told y'all a few months ago, I was at the corner here of Trolley Road, and I was going, and the Spirit of God began to show me the people in the cars. They were going. They were riding, and they were going. Some people were speeding. Some people just ride. But I could see on the people's faces, they're going places that they don't even know where they're going. Everybody trying to get to go to the next place. Oh, we can leave early, but don't even know where they're going. Some of y'all here tonight, oh, well, we got to go. It's time to go. But you don't even know where you're going. You're going back to the same chaos.
Yeah.
You're rushing to get out to go back to the chaos. You don't even know God trying to fill you so you can change that. But you're going back. After you get off work, you're going back. Where are you going? Oh, I got to go here. All this busy work, but it's not pushing you nowhere. Your destiny, you're not going nowhere. So it's like a treadmill. And so many Christians are doing that. All they do, they're content with having a Bible, being a part of a church, and reading their word. But nothing is going on in their life. Think about it. 5 years has gone past. Where are you spiritually? Where are you in the natural? Have you achieved your goals? Do you have goals? Or do you live aimlessly? You just get up and see. Lord, whatever you want to do. God is not a fairy tale. His plan is very clear what he wants his Christians to do. You can't say the Lord is blessing me and however you want me. Some of y'all say that sometimes. Whatever the Lord want to do. Whatever the Lord. You just been in service, Rev. We just heard the pastor say, we need you to clean up. Then you, whatever the Lord wants you to do, but your name ain't signed up. That's backwards. Well, that's how you start. God telling you to pray at home. Cut off American Idol and CSI in the reality show and pray for an hour. But let's hit it. And then we think God don't want it. God ain't gonna invade us. We say, well, why are we confused? You wonder why your destiny. That's because the word has to become your life. If you begin to take the word and put it in your life, the desire for worldly things will dry up. I'm not telling you to go move it. I'm telling you, put more word. You get hungry. Even at night, you start thinking about crusades. You start thinking about how can we change the lives of people? How can we do this? How can we build with pastor? How can we begin to form? How can God use me as a pillar in this church? Even when you go home, it starts that. Do you think I put this down and pick it up? You live with it. Why? Because it's a part of you. So I can't go to the post office and be different. That's because you have not allowed the word to invade in your life. When you can just flip off on people and don't care, and I mean just outright go off, man, you know, I don't even know if you're saved. That's right. You don't tell people off in the church like that. That ruins people. Your mouth lashing. People say, I'll never go to church. Take 15, 20 years for them to even come back on Easter because of the way you lash out on them. They won't even come back on Easter because the way you told them off and you were supposed to be a Christian. And then you come back and then wonder you ain't got no accountability. See, I can't handle that. That's why you shouldn't be in a rush to always be a leader. Let me lead. Let me get in front of people. Because people got to follow you home. They ain't about no preacher. You can preach and fake people out for an hour. Sing and sound good, the anointing, the presence of God. But what happened when you go home under pressure? Can I come to your house and see what you've built with the hands of you and God? Not just how are things going? How are they really going? I know you're saying good today. And his eye is on the sparrow. But I want to know if he's watching over you. Because the way you talking to me, I know you can sing. I know you can dance. I know you can preach. But it's more to it than that. That's why when the word becomes flesh, y'all, you actually want to see this stuff happen. It start oozing out of you. That's why you can go and be on the job and say, Lord, do something today, man. I mean, I've been sitting here with these cables and then hit my back underneath this roof here. And these people, man, just anoint this. I anoint this house. Charlie, go through them houses. I anoint this house. I anoint this. Just say something. Let something break out and something. They don't, you know, you start doing something because you get hungry to see what you're becoming. And now God is not just speaking to you. He's growing in you because you made a decision to make the word become flesh. When the word become flesh, you make good, strong decisions. That's how you can tell people that follow you to church, people that follow you about that is because the word becoming flesh. You're looking like Christ. You know, you don't want them to come join the church if they're not with us. But some people, you know, they go back to their dead churches thinking things are going to change. I told the pastor coming from Columbia, I said, Pastor, I said, where you went to church at Sunday? He said he listened to the broadcast. And he said, I went back to the old church that he's coming out of because the children had something in the youth. I said, now listen, you go back, you know, you messing the waters up. You got to get free. I'd rather you stay home than to go back to that because it's just vomit. You know God drifting you away. They're just religious and stuff. You go back there, now you got to fight through stuff. You do better stay home. Work with your own children. Stop waiting on the church. Have your own Sunday school, whatever you want to call it. Tuesday night school. Change it. Just build in them what God is doing. But stop going to these dead institutions. I said, because I don't have no part in that. You can't represent me going to these dead, just sitting in there, letting these false men talk to you. I didn't say all of them are false, but I'm talking about the ones y'all know. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'll stop there. Well, how long was that?